Joshua Liebman wrote a book entitled Peace of Mind. It was number one on the New York Times bestseller list for 58 weeks. And it was in the top 10 for over 3 straight years. After Peace of Mind was published, Liebman was besieged with phone calls and letters from people wanting peace of mind and asking him how to get it. He tried to help everybody who asked, until he was literally overwhelmed emotionally and physically. He couldn't stand up under the burden. And while his book, Peace of Mind, was still on the bestseller list, Liebman died of a heart attack at age 41. Sounds like Liebman couldn't find peace himself. You know, all peoples of all times have searched for peace. Even you. In the text that we read today, we read about this subject of peace. Matter of fact, in chapter 3 there, in our text, in the very first verse, we read, if his offering is a sacrifice of peace offering. And so this morning, I want to look at this topic of the peace offering. So we're going to have 3 divisions this morning, if you're taking notes, that will help guide our study. And let's get right into the first one. First of all, we see what it is. So it's a description. The 3 things are what it is, sort of a description of this offering. And then we're going to look at why it matters, kind of the significance behind it. And then the so what question, what does it mean? So we're going to look at some application. So first of all, what it was, the description. The description of this is in chapter 3 that we read, but it's also found in chapter 7. Actually, there's 4 places. A couple of them are just one verse. But chapter 7, verse 11 through verse 34, also addresses the peace offering. We'll get to chapter 7 here in just a little bit. As we read through the text this morning, you probably noticed, though, some similarities between this and the grain offerings. It was similar to the burnt offerings, wasn't it? Except for the birds. There was no birds involved in this peace offering, sometimes called fellowship offering, sometimes called the well-being offering. There's different names for it, but we'll just stick with peace offering, as it says here in our text. It was dissimilar, and there was no birds, but there were goats and sheep and bulls. These were acceptable. They had to be, for the most part, animals without blemish. There is one exception found in chapter 22. We're not going to go there. But then there was also the handwrite. Remember the handwrite where the right, R-I-T-E, the handwrite, remember the common act of the ceremony there where they would put the hand onto as a symbolic transference of guilt and the sin. This was still practiced here. And blood was thrown against the side of the altar. And as the grain offering was partially eaten, so is the peace offering. The peace offering, just like the grain offering, it could stand alone. In other words, somebody could offer it by itself, but not generally. Generally, it followed the order presented here in the first 3 chapters. Because if you remember last week, I kind of alluded to it, that the first 3 together were seen, the first 3 were generally seen together as a consecration. And so this is what we find here. There are also some differences. So these are some similarities. There's also some differences. With the burnt offering, it had to be male because it was a shadow of Jesus. But here we see that in some case it could be male or female in verse number 6. Still without blemish. And honestly, I thought, aha, okay, there's got to be some reason why here it was male or female. And there are some really kooky things out there. But there was no definitive reason, and it's not technically stated, but the best explanation that seemed tenable to me was simply because of the amount of animals that could be sacrificed or should be or whatever, especially with a burnt offering, most of the time offered at 6 a.m. and 3 p.m. or morning and evening, was that this one, because it was also a meal, it could come from a male or a female, meaning there wasn't any significant symbolism. It just seemed logically to allow a male or female in this context because it was a meal. In this Another difference in this verse that we see, while the burnt offering is the whole is burnt, here only the fat, the kidneys and the liver, sometimes called the entrails, the general intestinal area. It's not to be disgusting. We'll explain why here in just a moment. And then chapter 7 gives us a general description that there was that it was a shared meal, and the priests got a certain thing, and it had to be eaten within a certain amount of time, etc. Also in chapter 7, we see that there were three different types of peace offerings. There was the vow offering, there was the thanksgiving or confession, depending on where you read, and then also the free will. And these are described, as I said, in chapter 7. The commonality found between these three offerings was that they all dealt with various aspects of the worshiper's relationship, their fellowship, their well-being, and harmony with God, which goes right along as why they were peace offerings. And you'll understand that here in just a moment better. We're not going to deal with these three specific offerings, although there is some significance, I think, specifically in one of them. We're not going to deal specifically with these three offerings or why it had to be eaten 2 days or one day after, etc. We're going to concentrate today and develop the differences or develop the broad significance and the application of the peace offering as a whole. Okay? That's what we're going to do this morning. So, that's number one. Number two, why does it matter? What's the big deal, right? What are the reasons? Uh-oh. Okay, so this is... Okay, Dimitri, if you could go back. There you go. Thank you. Okay, that is not right. It should say why it matters. I thought I changed it, but I didn't. So number two should be, that was last week's, what it was, and then number two, why it matters. Just ignore that nonsense up there for this week. Sorry. To err is human. All right. Why it matters. Man, I thought I was doing good with this one too. I put a picture in this week. All right. Three prominent things that we see out of the text, the significance of why it matters, that help us to understand the significance that is, all right? First of all, we see, as already in chapter 3 and verse 1, is the word peace. If his offering is a sacrifice of peace offering, and this is mentioned in verse also in verse number 6 as well, and with depending on what type of offering it was, it talks about this being the peace offering. Now, the original word that's used here for the peace offering, it's one word. It has a correlation or a cognate, we would say, with the word that you know well, the word shalom. We've heard the word shalom before. And this is where we understand, where we would say in English, the word peace. And so when the writer writes this, when it's talking about this peace offering, he's referring to, it's coming out of the root of this idea of shalom and peace. Now, when you and I think of peace, typically, we think of peace this way, the absence of what? Conflict or trouble, right? That's typically what we think of as peace. I don't have a great memory, and as far as I can remember from the early 90s, I remember my dad, he was in the National Guard, and I remember he got put on alert that he was in a medical unit. And General Edwards was the general over his their unit and brigade and stuff. And my dad was the leader of his group. And I remember sitting in the house there on the couch, and he said, he got the family together, and he said, I might have to leave and go over to the Middle East. This was when the first conflict, one of the first conflicts. And then, thank God, now he would have gladly gone and such. He wanted to go, actually, he told me. Thank God he didn't have to go. All I can remember, in General Edwards called, said, hey, you're not going to go, and there was relief in our home. The reason I share that illustration, as far back as I can remember, and I have a bad memory, I remember there always being conflict or war with our country. Operation this, operation that, over in the Middle East. And so typically my generation and younger, we think of peace as absence of conflict. But when it came to the Hebrew mind, it didn't mean only absence of conflict. There was a positive side to this understanding as well, a positive side to the word peace or shalom. This is what they would have understood when they would greet each other with this. They had a special greeting or different greetings they would use, you know, shalom, may the Lord's face shine upon you. That was a positive statement that would mean the presence of blessing, not just the absence of conflict, but the presence of blessing. The presence or there was well-being between parties in life. There was wholeness of relationship reflected in fellowship. So not just relationships, but wholeness of relationship that was reflected in unhindered fellowship, that everything was good. Hey, come over to my house. I'm going to come to your house because everything was fine. There was harmony, both internally and externally, because there was peace. And so when they would have said, or when this would have been written and there was a peace offering, it wasn't just the absence of conflict with God, but it was the presence of God's blessing or the assurance of God's blessing or harmony or well-being. That's what this word peace communicates. And that's what the symbolism of this offering, the significance of this offering, was a recognition of the peace that the worshiper had with God. Do you remember? We looked at the historic redemptive timeline. Remember Genesis? God wanted presence and wanted relationship and fellowship with humanity. Humanity rebelled, and what happened? They were expelled from his presence. The great question became, how then could we ever dwell with God again? Time goes on and they get to the mountain, remember? And then God's presence is there. The presence comes down and fills the tabernacle. And then there's the horrible news. Moses, you can't go in. What do you mean I can't go in? I'm the mediator. How then can we have presence with God, dwell with God? How can things be right? We looked at the burnt offering. Remember, the burnt offering did what? Symbolizes the complete blotting out of our transgression. I submit to you that that is a picture of, now Jesus wasn't completely blotted out, right? But he blotted out our sin by his, 2 Corinthians 5:21. That's a picture or foreshadowing of the coming of Jesus. We saw all of these three offerings together. The atonement, being right with God, the grain offering and celebration and consecration. And now because of those two, we can have peace. Not just the absence of conflict with God, but the presence of well-being and harmony and a right relationship. Things are good. Things can be good with God. Could you imagine the Israelite who by faith would offer these sacrifices and know, man, things are good with me and God? What a peace. What well-being and harmony, internal, external. And then he would be able to, and we're going to look at that point three in a minute, but then he'd have a meal with other people and say, hey, look what God has done for us together as a people. So first of all, we see why it matters, the significance. What's the point is that it points to peace here with God. Secondly, we also see that significance in the word fat. Now, this is really foreign to us, right? I mean, in a society that's dominated by diets and, you know, food that has no taste and all this different stuff, you know, tofu, you know, and all, whatever it is. I mean, this is really foreign to us. But in chapter 3 here, verses 3 through 5, the word fat's repeated many times. And remember, we've learned in our line-by-line studies, when something's repeated multiple times, it's repeated to draw emphasis to it. Here is no different. Also in chapter 7, you'll see this a little bit as well. Fat here, literally the fat, was a cultural way of expressing the best. For instance, remember when Pharaoh had heard Joseph's brothers had come to town? He instructed Joseph to tell his brothers to come back to him. And quote, in Genesis 45, I will give you the best of the land of Egypt, and you shall eat the fat of the land. Now, was Pharaoh literally saying, out of the ground comes this nasty, rubbery, gooey, fat stuff? No. It's a symbolic way of saying the best. In the culture in which this was written, meat was a luxury. And so the best part of the meat, the fatty parts, because they had the most taste, the most flavor, were a delicacy. Now, not only do we read about fat, but this, the kidneys as well were burned, were part of this fat area. Kidneys around the fat, the kidneys, etc. In the culture of the day, these entrails, this general intestinal area, generally symbolized the heart, which represented what? What does the heart represent in a man? It represents the most important part of a person. I give you my heart, right? Can you remember, you know, two little teenagers in love, right? Oh, I love you. I give you my heart. You know, et cetera. Things like this. It's the most important part of the person. That's why we read in verse 16, all fat is the Lord's. God made a way. Let me put all that together. God made a way for the worshiper to be at peace with him. Remember the burnt offering? There's the grain offering and this offering. So when we read here that this portion was to be burnt, just the fat, the entrails, the fatty parts, the delicacy, the best tasting part. Matter of fact, one commentator said this would be like burning up the filet mignon because it's all marbled and stuff. When it was the worshiper's way of expressing gratitude and consecration because of the peace that he had with God. When you are at peace with God, you will give him your best. That's what this is talking about here. What is the significance of the peace offering? There's, first of all, peace. Not just the absence of conflict. Not just that God is some sort of, yes, God's wrath was expiated. Yes, God's wrath was satisfied. But God's blessings, therefore, were also in your life as well. And not only that, the peace offering also symbolized that you gave him your best. And as verse 5 states, this, when you give him your best, this is a pleasing aroma to the Lord. Now, let's look at a third subject here in this text. Now, the word isn't specifically spelled out like this, and this is where we're going to go to chapter 7. In chapter 7, we read in verse number 11, really through 34, you're going to see, we don't have time to read all of it, but what we're going to see here, and this is the law, verse 11, and this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings that one may offer to the Lord. And so that's where we're clued into here, that it's addressing the additional aspects of the peace offering. And if you'll skip with your eyes all the way down to verse 34, it talks about the breast that is waved, and there's this wave offering, and then there's, they call it this heave offering as well, and some different aspects of different rites that happen. And we're not going to get, remember I told you, pray for me, because sometimes there's these smaller things that could be important, but we don't want to get bogged down or whatever, not that being that it's bad stuff. So I'm going to choose verse 11 through 34 to move through that to handle the main theme stuff here, the big stuff, okay? I give you this text and you can work through it some on your own as well. Then we get down to 34, and then it says, really through 36, and then it says in verse 37, this is the law, the burnt, the grain, the sin, the guilt, the ordination, and the peace offerings, the six general offerings that were offered. So we see here, I just want you to be aware, this is, and within this section, it talks about how you share the meal. So, okay, that's what it is. So don't read it right now. Look up here. What happened in 11 through 34, there were specific parts that were given, and I'm going to tell you about that here in just a second. The fat was burned on the altar. Now, fat is really flammable. So, as a matter of fact, they used to make fuel out of it. That was on the altar. And the fire kept going all the time, etc. I would submit to you, and this offering, I want you to listen to me here before you think I'm saying God eats something, but the grain offering, excuse me, this offering, the peace offering, there are three symbolically that share in this meal. God doesn't eat. God is a spirit. I'm not saying that, okay? We know elsewhere in the Psalms, etc., that was a pagan idea. That's not what I'm saying about God. But God was present and participated in this meal. There was also the mediator, who was the priesthood, and then there was the worshiper. Those three combined, and I think that's symbolic, and I'll show you why here in just a moment. The fat was burned, the best, remember? And the rest of the meat is for the worshipers. And so what they would do is they would burn the fat, then they would take the steak, all right? And they would take this and they would cook it or roast it, whatever that they would do, and then they would share it. Specifically, the priest got the breast meat and the right thigh. The priest and his family, the priesthood, were able to eat that. The rest of the meat, other than the fats burned up, the right thigh and the breast, but all the other meat went to the worshiper and the covenant family, those he wanted to share with. And they would have a meal together. And so those are the mediators, the priests got their portion. This was part of how they sustained their life, along with the grain offering. There's also bread that's involved in this as well in chapter 7, leavened or unleavened bread. It could be either one. And the worshiper got their food as a meal, a celebration meal, and then God was involved in that. This was a pleasing aroma to him. People recognized that the covenant was around him and that he was the reason for the covenant. So that's how I say that there were three parties involved. Does that make sense? Three parties that were involved? Okay, I'm getting heads that are shaking yes. Okay, I think we're communicating well here, or I am. Two commentators put this well. Let me read to you this. It was a meal that was shared by all. Israelites often confirmed a covenant relationship by sharing a meal with other covenant partners. As a celebration, the offering underscored for Israelites that their covenant partner was none other than the Lord. That's why I say there's three parties involved. Their redeeming God, who had rescued them from Egypt, was now dwelling in their very midst. The enjoyment of eating the meat was a physical reminder of all the other blessings that attended the faithful observance of the covenant. It was a pledge and a physical illustration for all of the benefits that may be enjoyed by those that were at peace with God. In other words, the meal was shared. There was peace with God. There was enjoyment and harmony of God's community because there was a group of people, kind of like we do on First Sunday fellowships, that get together and we put all of our food together. And you know what we do? We come together. And why can we do that? Because we have Jesus in common. There's diversity in this room, but yet we're drawn together in unity because of what Christ has done for us. And it's a joyous, wonderful time of fellowship. That's why I use the word shared. It showed that there was peace with God, there was union with God, there was harmony with God and with other people. And so, my friend, if we take the last 3 weeks together really quickly, and we understand with the peace offering, we learn that there can be wholeness and completeness and well-being and harmony from God that leads to joyfully giving Him your best, the fat, and to celebrate this peace with others through a shared meal, all symbolic. Why? Because of the atonement and the first offering, and then the second offering, the consecration. Hey, God, I know what you've done to me. I'm giving myself to you. I'm celebrating that. There's thirdly peace with all of us. There's peace with us. Isn't that those three together? Isn't that a beautiful picture of our relationship with God? Isn't it a beautiful picture of what Jesus has done for us? This is what is significant about the peace offering. It pulls all three together. It demonstrates these three things that we just looked at. Now, third thing that I want to see this morning. Please change. I hope I change. Yes. Okay. What it means. All right. What it means. Thought I did it. What it means. This is the application. What does it mean for you? We don't do peace offerings anymore. Not like this anyway. We do a peace offering. We'll do it here. We'll do a Lord's Supper, which would be a modern-day equivalent reflection of it. We'll talk about that in the future, but we don't practice it like this anymore. What does it mean for us today? What's the significance? Well, as Liebman found out, all men want peace. We all want well-being and wholeness and completeness and harmony in life. We want those blessings, don't we? Don't you? Do you want peace in life? My friend, the peace that you need is first and foremost with God. Every one of us has rebelled against God and has alienated ourselves from Him. And when you're alienated from your Creator, you cannot have any peace at all. Things aren't right with you and God, and things won't be right with in life. Sometimes you might have some times of harmony. You might have some times where things are good, but there's never going to be permanence. That's why you're still looking. That's why you're still wondering. In our culture today, some people go look for it in alcohol. Some people go look for it in sex. Some people go look for it in other relationships. Some people go look for it with toys and money, etc. Some people go look for it in isolating themselves because they think they can find it within themselves, and so therefore they're going to provide it within themselves. That's why if you are one of these people, that's why you're still looking. You're still looking is because you don't have peace with God first and foremost. You're alienated from Him. But can I encourage you this morning, if you don't have peace with God, that you can have a peace that will guard your heart and mind, and that's even beyond understanding, as Philippians tells us. Here's the joy, and here's the good news. God preserved these words for us. Quote, there are those that are separated from Christ, alienated, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who broke down the hostility, reconciling us to God. My friends, that is the gospel, the good news, the great news about peace with God. Jesus died in your place so that way you could be at peace with God. You cannot make things right yourself. You can't fix it. The only way to be right with God again is by trusting what Jesus did for you. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, trusting what Jesus has done for us, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my friend, this is the good news and the gospel. And I have a question. Would you be rescued from your alienation today through faith in the person and work of Christ? Because Jesus can be your peace if He's not. He can be your peace. He's the better mediator. He's the better burnt offering. He's the better grain offering. He's the best priest peace offering. Jesus is your Savior. And if there's not peace, there can be today. And secondly, my friends, my Berean family, if you're a believer and you're here and there is peace with you in God, are you joyfully giving Him the fat? After what Jesus has done, don't you think you should? Because not only can Jesus be your peace, if He is your Savior, Jesus is your peace. What is it you won't give to Him? What is it that you're withholding? Why? Why? There's peace with you in God. There's no enmity. You're not alienated any longer. Be open. Don't live life like this. Live life like this. Give Him your life. Be intentional in your planning and your giving and your living. Live life like this. Behold God. Pursue Him. Enjoy Him. Oh, my friend, He's your peace. Things are good with you in God if He's your Savior. Jesus is your Savior. And so, we have an amazing Savior who is our peace. He's the better peace than we read here. But He's a shadow of this peace. And I hope He's your peace today. Let's praise Him for that. All right? Let's go to the Lord in prayer.